You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay. Welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, ESPN App, Sirius XM, Channel 80. She is Michelle Smallman. He is Chris Canty. I am Evan Cohen. Good morning, everybody. And CC, once again, yes, we're going to get to Russell Wilson with the Steelers. Smalls is injured.
What happened to Smalls?
She
was fine when I saw her walk in the building this morning.
No, my finger was dripping blood. You just didn't see it.
I didn't see it. You did a great job of hiding it.
I was running back to the makeup room to bandage it up.
What happened between your apartment and getting here? What happened?
My finger got caught in a door, and it got gashed open.
So were you still half asleep? Was that what it was?
The door was... It needed some oil, I think. I couldn't really open it. It was one of those sliding doors.
So we're blaming the door now. We're blaming the door for being a door.
But you know how those sliding doors are supposed to glide open? This one I really had to pull, and the thing came down and slammed my finger.
Were you aware that the door was kind of janky? Did you know that beforehand?
No, not until I entered the vehicle.
Okay, gotcha.
Every day with her, it's something.
It's something.
It's really remarkable. Something. Our first ever show, she walks in, she has a black eye.
Yes. Yep.
And now 6 months later or so, she has a broken kind of finger, or a bashed up finger there, mashed up finger with gushing blood. Yeah. She walks in and I see her bleeding, of course, by way of her finger.
It's not a stitch situation, is it?
I'm hoping not. <She's> like, we'll find out.
It's going to be touch and go for the next four hours.
Stay tuned, America.
We're going to find out together.
one finger over and she may be talking about the Rams. Anyway.
Wow.
For her, not for us. All right. Last night, middle of the night, kind of, midnight around Eastern time, Russell Wilson announces, and it's been reported by Adam Schefter first, of course, that he is joining the Pittsburgh Steelers on a one-year deal for about $1 million, which means Denver's paying him $38 million. The Steelers are paying him $1 million. And for me, as a Russell Wilson fan, I am so happy today because, listen, there's no guarantee he makes the team. There's no guarantee he starts if he makes the team. There's no guarantee he plays well. The only guarantee is that he has an opportunity before free agency even begins. And there were many people, not the three of us, but there were many people saying he could be out of the league next year. He may have to go to a team like the Jets and be a backup for a guy like Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson will have an opportunity to do something this year. And the opportunity was given by a future Hall of Fame coach in Mike Tomlin. So for those few people left that are Russell Wilson fans like myself, I'm happy today.
Yeah, but there's zero shot that he doesn't make this team. Like, he's going to be on the team.
I hope so.
There's no way that Mike Tomlin could sell to his locker room, let alone the fan base, that we're going to go back into the 2024 season with Kenny Pickett as QB1 and Russell Wilson not even in the quarterback room. Like, the fact that they did this so early in the process lets me know that there's a clear plan and there's a certain comfort level that they have with Russ. And based on his explanation of what happened the last 2 years in Denver, the Pittsburgh Steelers felt like they had to move quickly in order to bring him in their building. But Smalls, we were talking a little bit before the show. Just looking at the Steelers' quarterback play and looking at their offense as a whole last year, it was absolutely atrocious. They had 7 losses in the regular season. 6 of them, their offense scored 13 points or less.
Wow.
Think about that.
Not great.
6 of their 7 losses, the offense scored 13 points or less. A couple of those games were in the single digits. It's absolutely awful offense. Their offense is terrible. They had the second fewest touchdown passes last year. Over the last 2 years, they've had the fewest touchdown passes in the league. Hell, Russell Wilson last year alone had more touchdown passes than the Steelers offense had the last 2 seasons. That's how bad the Pittsburgh Steelers offense and quarterback play has been. And so Russell Wilson, based on a $1.2 million salary, represents not only an upgrade to what you've been getting the last couple of years from quarterback play, but the value proposition that he presents puts the Steelers in a pretty good spot to compete for the division and make some noise in the postseason.
Yeah, this is an area of opportunity for them to grow in a position that they need to, and an opportunity for Russ to show that he still has it. And by them acting with a sense of urgency and getting this done, they want to get him in the building. They want him to start learning the system, getting the reps. Like, he's going to be competing for the starting job. And if Russell Wilson still thinks that he's that guy, he should be able to win the starting job.
Well, that's a great point that you bring up, though, because if he can't win the starting job, then all of a sudden his mortality as a starter in the National Football League is over.
Yes.
If you can't beat out Kenny Pickett, what we've seen from Kenny Pickett the last couple of years, it's done. Like, you are officially washed up. It was trending that way in 2022. I think we saw enough flashes in 2023 that gives us the wait-and-see approach. But if he can't make it work in Pittsburgh, then he's not going to be able to make it work as a starting quarterback anywhere in the National Football League.
I also thought that about the personality fit. If for some reason we get reports that it is a little bit of the same that we saw at the end in Seattle and at times in Denver, that means that you had issues working at the end with Pete Carroll, even though they still have a good relationship. It didn't work with Sean Payton. And if it's for some reason it doesn't work with Mike Tomlin, that tells you all you need to know. But the fact that they are willing to bring him in, that Mike Tomlin gave Russell Wilson his blessing and wants to bring him in, I think is a great sign for him.
Yeah, that's a heck of a big three of coaches that people that you've played for in your career.
Yes.
I mean, the only other guy I know that has that kind of big three is sitting to my left over
yeah,
here.
Totally.
In terms of Bill Parcells, Sean Harbaugh, and Tom Coughlin. Now, Brooke Pryor, ESPN NFL Steelers reporter, gave this assessment on game night last night on ESPN Radio about how the fans are going to be feeling in Pittsburgh when they wake up to this news.
I don't think it's going to be great. I got to be honest. Some of the texts that I have gotten from people in the city whose parents have already gone to sleep are, wow, my dad's going to be livid when I wake up, or when he wakes up. I think it's going to come with some very mixed reactions, because this is a fan base that has wanted their organization to do something dramatic, to give their team and this franchise a jolt. And I think that they have wanted, you know, a trade for Justin Fields or something that shows that they're committed to getting back to just beyond a first round exit in the playoffs, getting back to the Super Bowl. But I don't know that the fans are convinced that Russell Wilson is going to be that guy.
So I understand it, but like, what that's what the Steelers fans would want. Like, there's no proof that Justin Fields can be what Russell Wilson actually is. People can rip on Russell Wilson all they want. If past behavior is the best indicator of future behavior or success or lack thereof, Justin Fields has not been great yet in the NFL. Like, Russell Wilson at his worst last year is still better than Justin Fields, as we know Justin Fields to have been.
Yeah, with Justin Fields, is still potential. And if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, why do you want to take on the salary or commit the
totally
salary
agree.
To Justin Fields when you can go out there and draft the quarterback this year too? Mm-hmm. See, that's the beauty of the Russell Wilson move. It doesn't preclude you from continuing to add to your quarterback room. And although we'll all acknowledge that Russ feels like a glorified Band-Aid for the Steelers' long-term quarterback woes, I think that they can actually address the quarterback position in the NFL draft without blowing up their team and without having to commit a lot of resources in the way of cap dollars to their roster. So it just makes sense to sign Russell Wilson. You've got Kenny Pickett in the room as well, and we'll see if he can continue to develop. But you can also go out in day two in the second or third round and add a quarterback, mm-hmm. somebody like Spencer Rattler, who's going to probably be there for the taking. There are going to be plenty of options in day two of quarterbacks that have played a lot of football at the collegiate level that the Steelers could draft and develop. Let them sit behind Russ, a professional quarterback, see how he goes about his business. And then 2025 and beyond, turn it over to those guys, whether it be Kenny Pickett or the guy that you draft. So I absolutely love this move for the Steelers. I know that this is a departure from how they typically do business, but I do think by throwing multiple bodies at the problem, they're going to find some good answers, some good solutions. And I think that's the approach that Mike Tomlin has urged the front office to make this offseason.
Absolutely. It is a smart approach. It is a measured approach. But if I'm a fan, I don't really know if any of these options are the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I feel about Kenny Pickett if I'm a Steelers fan. I don't know if Russell Wilson is going to be the answer. If anything, he feels like potentially a bridge guy, but he doesn't feel like a 100% slam dunk option. To draft somebody in the second round, that doesn't really excite me if I'm a Steelers fan. CeCe, you just gave the numbers. This is an area where this team desperately needs an upgrade. They really need to improve, not only at the quarterback position, but at offense in general. And if I'm a team that knows I'm going to start at 500 and can compete for a playoff spot, and we need a quarterback. None of these options that the Steelers are presenting feel like a big swing, feel like they're really going for it. So I can understand from their position, from the organization's position, it's a smart route to take. From a fan perspective, I can understand why you'd be disappointed in it.
But what's the alternative? So if Justin Fields is not the swing and Russell Wilson's not the swing, the singular and only available swing in free agency is Kirk Cousins. In order to get Kirk Cousins, who do you want to say goodbye to? Because it doesn't work that way that you can just get him for the same price you get Russell Wilson.
No.
If you want Kirk Cousins at 40 a year, fine. We have to go through their salary cap and say, okay, well, then you're going to trade Deontay Johnson, which they may do anyway. Who else are you going to trade? Who else are you not going to bring back? Who do you have to now call and restructure? Do you know that based on the numbers that we have seen, I'm not suggesting that these guys are unbelievable right now, but Mike Tomlin starts you at 9-8. Mm-hmm. That's where you start with Mike Tomlin. Then I'm going to give you a first-round quarterback who hasn't played that way and a future potential Hall of Fame quarterback who hasn't played that way in Kenny Pickett and Russell Wilson combined for less than $6 million in salary cap.
Wow.
Per the numbers, Kenny Pickett is 3.8. What are you telling me Russ is going to be
1.2. Veteran minimum.
I mean, what are we talking about here? Like, the Kirk Cousins means you're gonna deplete some of your roster.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. From a value proposition standpoint, I don't know which one is better, Kirk Cousins or Russell Wilson. Think about what Kirk Cousins is going to cost.
Mm-hmm.
Think about Russell
40,
Wilson.
35, whatever it
think
is.
Think about what Russell Wilson is going to cost you.
1.2.
Exactly. And how much more can you do with your roster in terms of addressing your need? You still need to address the needs of the offensive line. You still need to worry about the depth on the defensive side of the ball, especially in your front seven. So there are plenty of things that the Pittsburgh Steelers need to do. Depth in the wide receiver room, another concern for the Steelers. There's plenty of work for them to do this offseason. Mm-hmm. And now, based on your starting quarterback only taking up $1.2 million of your salary cap, you have a tremendous amount of flexibility to go out and add not just guys that can be depth pieces, but guys that can be difference makers. That's the beauty of what they're doing. We're going to have two or three quarterbacks in our quarterback room that are essentially on rookie deals, that are out there for the cheap. Mm-hmm. And again, I go back to this. I got to believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers are still in the quarterback market even after the Russell Wilson signing.
Yeah.
I don't know who that guy is, but I would be shocked if they don't take a quarterback in day two. If it's not a guy like Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. or Spencer Rattler, somebody that falls in that second or third round range, because it just makes sense. The Steelers recognize they still got a long-term quarterback problem.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson is in his mid-30s. Yeah, like he's here for a good time, not a long time.
Right.
So we got to find a solution. And to me, it's being able to draft and develop a guy while you have a professional quarterback in the building that can teach them the ropes, help them learn the offense, but also help them learn how to go about their business. That's the thing that Kenny Pickett didn't have. And so you're hoping that Russell Wilson can infuse some of that in that quarterback room with those young signal callers. That could eventually be your best long-term option at quarterback.
And just piggybacking off that point, everything you said in my mind is so dead on that if someone slips to them at 20, the money would still allow them at the quarterback position. Theoretically, let's say they're in love with Michael Penix Jr. They think he's the guy. At 20, you can still afford it. Your quarterback, your three-person quarterback depth chart will still cost less than most teams.
They could do it.
They could do it. All right, coming up. Russ is off the board. He's going to Pittsburgh. The big breaking news last night. Baker has re-signed in Tampa. Who's left? Maybe the number one quarterback out there, Kirk Cousins. Where is he going to go? We'll get to that next. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This is the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio.
We likely will know Kirk Cousins' destination today, we think. We're on Sportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. All right, if you're just tuning in, Russell Wilson's going to the Steelers. That's happening. That's done. He's going on a one-year league minimum deal. Denver's paying the rest, $38 million for him to play, for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Baker Mayfield yesterday signs a three-year, $100 million deal to stay in Tampa, which really is kind of a two-year deal. If he's not good, they can get out of it. If he is good, he's going to want more after those 2 years. So that leaves us today at noon Eastern time when the legal tampering period begins with the number one quarterback on the market, Kirk Cousins. Where do we think he's going?
I think he's going to Atlanta. Right now, the Atlanta Falcons are the odds-on favorite. It's plus 200, which represents the implied probability of a 33.3% chance that he signs with the Falcons.
Ooh.
And so they're the leader in the clubhouse. The Minnesota Vikings aren't even second.
Really?
Second. The Las Vegas Raiders are second.
Oh, wow.
With plus 350 odds. Then it's the Minnesota Vikings at plus 450 odds. So this is going to get real interesting. And you said that we should probably know where Kirk Cousins is going to go today because of the legal tampering period starting at noon. My question is, does it behoove Kirk Cousins to continue to wait? Because right now, you've had two options for teams in the veteran quarterback market come off the board in Baker Mayfield and Russell Wilson. As you continue to wait and all of these other quarterbacks declare, doesn't it make more sense if you're Kirk Cousins to give yourself more leverage between your top two suitors? So if it's ultimately going to end up being the Minnesota Vikings and the Atlanta Falcons, I mean, doesn't it behoove Kirk Cousins to continue to wait and apply more pressure to the situation and be able to extract maximum value for his services in free agency?
It does, unless one of those teams doesn't want to wait for him and they want to act quickly and they sign somebody else, then his leverage is gone. But I would imagine that because he's the biggest fish out there, that they would wait for his decision, wait for that domino to fall. But I would also go with CeCe and lead towards Atlanta, just because it feels like even though Minnesota has been very vocal about wanting him to come back, they also want him to come back on their terms. And up until this point, it doesn't feel like they're going to budge from their stance on what they're willing to pay him. And it feels like Atlanta is more of an option for him to get what he wants financially, and it's a good place for him to go and win.
Let's go back. Those odds are interesting to me. The fact that the Raiders out of nowhere have jumped ahead of the Vikings. So if you think about this from his perspective, this is a guy that has had a phenomenal career relative to where he was drafted, what he was expected to do, how much money he's made, how every contract has been on his terms. Mm-hmm. The one thing he doesn't have is significant playoff winning. Of those three teams, if you were him and you were just doing it based on where you can win the most, where do you go?
Oh, it's the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about the division, the NFC South. That is the lowest of bars to clear in the NFL. If you put him with those pieces on the offensive side of the ball, a really good offensive line, which nobody talks about, an outstanding running game, and then a defense that's flirting with being a top 10 unit with a veteran coach and Raheem Morris, somebody that's already done the job, yeah, I absolutely think that he can get it done. I mean, think about the rest of the division. The Carolina Panthers are an absolute dumpster fire. I mean, Tampa Bay caught lightning in a bottle with Baker Mayfield last year, but there's no guarantee that they're going to be able to do that again. And then the New Orleans Saints, does anybody really know what the hell they're doing at quarterback and head coach?
No.
Exactly. So I just feel like the Atlanta Falcons is a great fit for Kirk Cousins. You're guaranteed top 10 quarterback productivity. And if you can add that to that team with the running game that they've shown in the past – then, yeah, I think the Atlanta Falcons are not only the team that would be the favorite to beat in the division, but I also think that they could win a playoff game or two. I think that's how good Atlanta could go to be.
And, Smalls, you said, well, maybe those teams are not going to wait for him because they're going to go for someone else. Here's the interesting thing. Who's the someone else we're talking about now?
Is it Justin Fields?
Obviously,
Kirk Cousins is a better option. But
hasn't the league told us don't be excited about Justin Fields? I mean, I hate to be so direct and rude about this, but, like, hasn't the league told us that? He could have been traded in agreement by now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Not actually traded, but in agreement.
In agreement, yeah.
That hasn't happened. Baker resigns, but the Bucs are like, no, we need to get that done. And that's a nice price both ways, right? I mean, Russ goes to the Steelers. All we heard about was how much Mike Tomlin likes Justin Fields. He may, but he may like Russell Wilson for $1.2 better.
Yeah, he likes the price better, probably.
I mean, Minnesota, we've heard they want they want Kirk Cousins back at their price. I don't think we've heard that they want Justin Fields.
No.
Atlanta's where he's from, and Atlanta has every egg in the Justin Fields basket.
Yeah.
The Raiders are an interesting spot because, yeah, sure, take a flyer on them, but the offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, who was with in Chicago last year, is now with the Raiders, and they weren't necessarily, you know, Walsh and Montana. I mean, so at some point, we have to listen to what the league is telling us, that Justin Fields kind of ain't it. Matt Jones went for a 6th-round pick to the Jaguars. Matt Jones is not good. He's more accomplished than Justin Fields, though. So when you're bringing up, okay, if one of those teams may be wanting someone else, who? I don't even know who we're talking about.
I know, and that's the interesting part. But with Kirk Cousins having three teams that are so closely grouped together in terms of the overall odds to sign him, the chances of, you know, two of those three teams signing quarterbacks in the veteran market over the next 2 or 3 days are slim to none. Like, they're not both going to – all those teams, like, when you start to look at them, they're going to have the question looming out there at quarterback. And so I think there is the potential for Kirk Cousins to leverage one of those teams against the other one. Yeah, there might be one team. Say, for instance, the Las Vegas Raiders decide they're going to be out of the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes. They trade for a quarterback. They sign another lesser veteran quarterback like Jacoby Brissett. They can take themselves out of the bidding, but you're still going to have those two teams that are going at it with one another. And I think that's where Kirk Cousins can maximize his leverage. If you think about once upon a time when he was leaving the Washington Commanders, he had the New York Jets and the Minnesota Vikings. Now, he didn't want to come to the Jets, but he was able to leverage the Jets in order to get the fully guaranteed contract that he was looking for. And the Jets had more money on the table, but he decided he was going to take the 3 years, $84 million fully guaranteed from the Minnesota Vikings. So I'm wondering if there might be a similar situation with Kirk Cousins with the Minnesota Vikings, maybe him potentially leveraging these other landing spots to get the deal that he wants, knowing that the Minnesota Vikings don't want to guarantee him any money beyond the first year of that contract at this age and based on the injury that he's coming off of.
So everything you just said, correct me if I'm wrong, would give me the indication, and this is you're presenting a hypothetical, obviously, that maybe he does want to come back to Minnesota, but if Minnesota is so far off of the money, Atlanta's a cool second option for him, right? Because it seems like Minnesota, he'd be cool coming back, but not if they're going to give him $40 million guaranteed and Atlanta's giving him $100 million guaranteed. So he's the biggest domino, right? He is the number one quarterback on the market. And by the way, guys, this is going to sound weird to people that don't like Kirk Cousins. Guys as good as Kirk Cousins are never unrestricted free agents.
Yeah.
They're just not. We may see one in a year in Dak Prescott. But guys.
It usually doesn't happen.
Right. It usually does not happen. All right, coming up, CC will go upon further review next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Now that the weekend is over, it's time to look back and break it down.
Without further ado, let's get this thing kicked off.
This is a Upon Further Review.
After further review,
a little farther.
With Chris Canty.
Ah, yes, a little Upon Further Review. Free agency edition. And you know I get excited about free agency, right, Smalls? You know
I
why?
I knew that.
Because there's a lot of fresh cash being thrown around. A lot of fresh cash. I mean, Chris Jones got the bag for the Kansas City Chiefs.
95.
Ooh, bigger than Aaron Donald's contract on average annual value. Outstanding. But he is Evan Cohen. She is Michelle Smallman. I am Chris Canty. And this is Upon Further Review. Without further ado, let's get this thing kicked off.
How many rhymes do you want to do?
Number one.
All right, Duke Carolina, this Saturday, it was outstanding. It lets us know that rivalries in college basketball are still alive and well. This is one of the best rivalries in all of sports. It was an awesome back and forth in the final 10 minutes of the game after Carolina had a commanding lead. They led by double digits for the majority of the first 30 minutes of this game. But the last 10 minutes, that's what this rivalry has become known for. And this edition of Carolina Duke did not disappoint. It was complete with Kyle Filipowski tripping Harrison Ingram. You had unsung heroes like Cormac Ryan, who dropped 31 points after RJ Davis went cold for the game. And then, of course, you had Cadeau with the nail in the coffin at the end of this game. But again, it was a 4-point game with 30 seconds to go. It just came down to the wire. It was absolutely awesome. And no Duke-UNC game is complete without the winning team taunting the opposing fans. And that's what we got from the Carolina Tar Heels on their way off of Coach K Court at Cameron Indoor Stadium, waving goodbye to the student section. It was pretty awesome. It was a great sight to be seeing. Congratulations to Hubert Davis. They get the season series sweep over Duke and John Shire and Kyle Filipowski and company.
They were throwing things at the end, though, weren't the fans, if I'm not mistaken?
They were. They were.
Yeah, not ideal.
They're a little salty.
I think UNC's winning the championship, because I actually do believe that. But I also like saying it over and over again, because our producer, Nuno, is a huge UNC fan.
Yeah.
So it's a double whammy. Either I'm going to be right, or I jinx Nuno.
No doubt.
So win-win.
No doubt. There's no question. But here's the other thing that I got from Saturday's game. It just let me know that Kyle Filipowski, what happened at the court storming at Wake Forest, was probably intentional. Like, it was probably him selling it just a little bit, being overly dramatic. Because when he fell down on the court, and then after trying to get up, decides he's going to trip Harrison Ingram when he's on the way back down the court on the offensive end, like, that was just completely inexcusable. Like, I don't know why John Shire, the head coach from Duke, doesn't say anything about it. And we're showing it on ESPN, too. But it's clear that Filipowski is pulling an all-time cheap shot. I thought Grayson Allen left Duke.
I didn't know
he was reincarnated into Kyle Filipowski. But, I mean, it kind of had the same type of vibes that we saw in the court storming, you know, when he stuck his leg out and he got injured by the court stormer. I'm just saying, with all of the outrage that we heard from the Duke head coach John Shire in that moment, I don't know why he's not equally as outraged about one of his own players doing something to put a player on the court in harm's way.
I don't know that I 100% agree. I will say, Dawn Staley.
You don't agree? That was intentional by
Filipowski. Well, I'm saying about the court. I don't agree about the court story.
But what Filipowski did to Harrison Ingram, that was intentional.
Totally.
There's no way that was an accident.
Totally.
But, you know, when you're saying the head coach should apologize for their own team, I'd say, come on, that doesn't happen. Except it literally happened yesterday with Dawn Staley.
No doubt.
Yeah. For South Carolina, she was saying, that's not the way we go about things.
Yeah, Camilla Cardoza, like, she was just like, that's out of pocket. She apologized not only to LSU, but she apologized to the entire basketball community. That's not what you do.
Right, but you said it does give Grayson Allen vibes, so it is kind of what Duke does at times.
Yeah, and I mean, Filipowski played outstanding in the second half. He had 19 points in the second half after he was quiet in the first. Like those types of things cheapen the game, and it cheapens his performance, in my opinion. I'm just saying, these are my thoughts, because it's my upon further review. Javonte, keep it moving.
Number two.
Okay, no general manager or head coach is under more pressure than Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland. How do I know that? The Jerry Jeudy trade that happened this weekend. They sent a 5th and a 6th round pick to the Denver Broncos for the rights for Jerry Jeudy. And that just shows the level of urgency that they have about trying to win big with Deshaun Watson. Now, in order to justify the contract, they have to, and the slings and arrows that would come along with making a move like trading for Deshaun Watson, they've got to go on a deep playoff run. Otherwise, somebody is getting fired. And I don't know if it's the head coach or the general manager or both. But the Jerry Jeudy trade, what they gave up to the Denver Broncos, lets me know that this is a lease with an option to buy. And based on how this year goes, is going to determine a lot of what Cleveland does contractually, not just with the guys they have in the locker room, but with the people that are a part of the brain trust, that being the head coach and the general manager. So the Jerry Jeudy trade, adding yet another weapon for Deshaun Watson to go along with what they already have in the building, they got to get it done this year. They absolutely have to.
You're right. We talk so much about the Dallas Cowboys, about the Buffalo Bills, about so many teams that have pressure to win. But when you think about everything that they've mortgaged, not only for this team, but specifically for Deshaun Watson, if they don't win, not only are people getting fired, this is all-time historically bad. A move that will stick with this franchise forever. They have to win, and Deshaun Watson has to be good this year.
I mean, I think Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski have actually done a great job because I think the owner made the Deshaun Watson trade more than the two people in charge.
Well, he can't fire himself.
No, he can't.
Exactly. Right. Somebody go take that.
Somebody else is getting fired.
I think they've done a really good job thus far, but you're right in terms of the pressure. I like this trade this weekend. It's a flyer that I would take if I'm them, a fifth and a sixth for Jerry Jeudy, who had first-round talent at some point or another. I just want to be clear on something. So you think the Browns have – are you saying in terms of the combo package of head coach, GM? Because yeah. The Bills, the Eagles, Cowboys can't fire their GM.
Head coach and GM.
Right, so Howie Roseman not going anywhere. Okay, that's fair in the way. By the way, one other quick thing on that. I said to you guys on Friday I thought Denver should just unload everybody and tank. I wonder if they are. Trading Jerry Jeudy does not indicate that, but I wonder if they trade other guys. Just a thought.
Very interesting. Next.
Number 3.
Speaking of pressure, it's official. No quarterback head coach combination is under more pressure this season in the NFL than Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. Listen to me again. No head coach quarterback combination is under more pressure this year than Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. It ain't Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott. It's not Deshaun Watson and Kevin Stefanski. No quarterback head coach combo is under more pressure. With the retirements of Fletcher Cox, who had a very nice retirement statement this weekend, and Jason Kelce, who we saw his retirement press conference last week, there is an exodus when it comes to leadership in the locker room for the Philadelphia Eagles, and you're going to have to rely on your head coach and your quarterback to provide that more so now than ever. With that leadership vacuum, they're going to have to be the ones that provide direction. They're going to have to be the ones that provide the overall leadership and set the agenda for the entire organization. And I don't have a ton of confidence that those two individuals can get that done. When you lose 6 of your last 7 games and get bounced out of the playoffs unceremoniously like they did against the Tampa Bay Bucks, it's hard not to look at them with a heightened degree of scrutiny, especially when you lose to a retread quarterback and head coach in Baker Mayfield and Todd Bowles. That speaks volumes about where you're at. It's absolutely inexcusable. I'm not saying – well, yeah, I am saying it. Nick Sirianni could be gone by the trade deadline.
Ooh.
If things get off to a bad start. That's how much pressure is on that group. Again, Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, under more pressure as a tandem head coach quarterback than anybody else in the National Football League. That's more than the people in Dallas, more than the people in Cleveland, even more than the people in Buffalo.
That's what I was thinking, man.
Those two are under more pressure than anybody in the league.
I think you're probably right because of this. Like, I always fight off the Buffalo one. I don't think Buffalo was ever close to making a move. I think Philadelphia was close to making a move, right? It doesn't seem like Buffalo has had any kind of indication of making a move at the head coaching spot with Sean McDermott. I think we know Philadelphia was considering that for sure.
And you got to consider the history of Philadelphia, too, what they've done at the quarterback spot. Remember, Howie Roseman paid Carson Wentz, mm-hmm. A year later moved on from him. I mean, based on the structure of the Jalen Hurts contract, they can move off of that deal without a huge amount of dead money after this year. Like that is one of the most team-friendly quarterback contracts that was signed over the last 5 years. And so I think that amount of flexibility for the Philadelphia Eagles is what puts Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni in the jackpot in 2024. Those guys are going to have to deliver.
It feels to me like Jalen Hurts is going to have to carry the lion's share of the water when it comes to this one from a leadership perspective. When you have those two guys and Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce leaving your building, someone has to step up and fill those shoes. And those are big shoes to fill. I think we're going to learn a lot about Jalen Hurts, not only as a player, but as a leader this season.
Weird comparison. I never thought about this before. You just said it right now off of the Fletcher Cox retirement this weekend. They kind of feel like the Celtics. Marcus Smart's no longer there. Jason Tatum, you got to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, hey, Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce are no longer here. Jalen, you have to be. There's no veteran leadership more than you. You're supposed to be our best player and our best leader, and now there's no protection around you. And I'm not saying he can't do that, because I think he's proven to be a great leader historically.
And Mazzulla and Sirianni weirdly feel like kind of the same guy.
They're just weird. Like, what, like some of the stuff they say. Darius in Georgia watching on ESPN2. What's up, Darius? Darius.
Yeah, I was just coming in on, how can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
So I was coming on the Matt Jones, CJ Stroud, and Justin Fields situation, being that they're young quarterbacks. Me, Matt Jones is good. He just had a terrible offense that had nothing for him. He threw a Heisman, a wide receiver, a Heisman. Then you have Justin Fields, same thing. The Chicago Bears all my life have been quarterback killers. So I'm glad that the Browns have stepped out of that. And as far as CJ and CJ, I think the Falcons should pick up Justin Fields just because of CJ. They both came from the same program. They both want to have the same offense, and that would be lit for Atlanta.
Yeah, just because they both went to Ohio State does not mean they're both going to be great quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly.
They may have ultimately the same degree.
Nah.
I mean, Russell Wilson and I both went to Wisconsin. I'd take him over Maine, just throwing that out there. I mean, that's...
Nah.
Yeah, I don't think we can do that exactly because you went to the same school that you're going to have this... C.J. Stroud was better... literally in 1 year than Justin Fields was in his entire career combined.
C.J. Stroud changed the way we view Ohio State quarterbacks in a lot of ways.
That's an odd one. Mac Jones was traded yesterday. He did mention Mac Jones. That 2021 draft, oh boy. We'll get into that next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Mac Jones back home in Jacksonville. We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. The Patriots, as first reported by Adam Schefter yesterday, trade Mac to the Jags for a sixth-round pick. As if you're just tuning in, Russell Wilson is going to be a Steeler. We know that. Baker Mayfield is staying with the Bucks, waiting on the Kirk Cousins news. Legal tampering today starts at noon Eastern time. So Mac goes back to Jacksonville. Not, I mean, he never played for the Jaguars, obviously, but where he's from, for a sixth-round pick. So this was supposed to be the ultimate Brady replacement. At the time he was drafted, I think the majority of people at 15 overall, when New England didn't have to move to get him, were like, you got to be kidding me. How the heck did they end up with this guy? And the first 2 years of his career were very promising. Since then, disaster. Everybody blames New England with the Matt Patricia hiring an offensive coordinator, which I get it. Statistically, he was better 2 years ago than he was this year with Bill O'Brien, now BC head coach, as his coordinator. Any way you cut it, you want to blame Belichick? Fine. You want to blame Mac? Fine. They both, in essence, got each other fired. I mean, the reality of this, however you want to look at it, Mac's play hurt Belichick and Belichick hurt Mac. However you want to look at it, and now they're gone. Both of them, unfortunately, for me as a Pats.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and blame the head coach or the coordinators. I mean, the player has to own some of this, right? It was disastrous in New England the last couple of years, and Mac Jones didn't do himself any favors by the way that he handled it. There was an overall lack of professionalism because of how demonstrative he was from a negative perspective when it came to how he was being coached. I thought that there was more that he could do. And certainly I think Jerod Mayo and Elliot Wolf had seen enough to determine that this is not a guy that's a part of our future. And here's the thing, based on where the New England Patriots are picking with the third overall selection, they're going to take a quarterback. And Mac Jones represented what you would typically look for in a bridge option, somebody that's played a lot of games, but not somebody that's going to be threatening from a talent perspective to the guy that you take with the third overall pick. And they thought enough to get this guy out of the building before they even draft their future franchise quarterback. That says a lot about Mac Jones's sports character and how he operated as a teammate in that building. So I think this is an indictment on Mac Jones, the quarterback and the teammate, more so than anything else. I mean, it was bad the way that it ended in New England, and you can understand why a new regime would want to start fresh and pick their own quarterback, especially with them being at the top of the draft. But them getting Mac Jones out of the building and not even considering him as a bridge option in order to ease your future franchise quarterback in, that says a lot about Mac Jones.
Yeah, the situation was so convoluted. It really did feel like it was best for both parties to have a clean break. It was best for New England to move on. Hey, it didn't work out. We're going to draft a new quarterback. It is a new regime. We're going to have a fresh slate. And I think it's best for him to get out of there, too. And while the player always deserves some certain percentage of the blame whenever there's a failure, New England did not put him in a great position to succeed. He had, what, 3 coordinators in 3 years and 2 defensive guys who were championing that, essentially. 1 defensive guy, and who Joe Judge was the other one. But that doesn't help a quarterback. He didn't have a ton of talent around him. It just felt like from the jump, when you look at everything that happened with him in New England, that he was not put in the right position to succeed, and that they certainly deserve some blame for what happened in this situation.
So 2 additional fallout conversations on this. 1, if the compare and contrast from a bridge quarterback perspective is to the possibility of Jacoby Brissett, that is the complete opposite of Mac Jones in terms of professionalism. That dude is class act all around. Every team wants him in their locker room. He is top of the food chain in terms of professionalism. That's 1. 2, as bad as Mac Jones has been the last couple of years, I actually like this by Jacksonville. He's clearly not your starter, and we've learned this year in the NFL, maybe more than any other year, you got to get a guy who knows what he's doing as a backup. Now, I don't know that Mac definitely knows what he's doing, but I'm going to assume fresh start, he's going to be capable as a backup, God forbid, if Trevor Lawrence gets hurt.
Yeah, what did we see, like 65, 66?
It was absurd. Absurd. And some of the guys we watched were like, how is this guy even in the league?
Yeah.
Mac is capable enough to be a backup quarterback. But when you look back at that 2021 draft, it's remarkable. Trevor Lawrence, 1. Okay, fine. But he has not been what we thought he would be. And no. I love Trevor Lawrence, but he's got to be better. He's a franchise. He's their franchise quarterback, but he's not a franchise quarterback for all teams yet. Zach Wilson, 2. Mm. He's going to get traded. Trey Lance, 3, has already been traded. Mm-hmm. Justin Fields is going to get traded. And Mac Jones just got traded. Trevor Lawrence is clearly the most accomplished of the list. Mac Jones is probably 2nd, and then Justin Fields. Yet moving forward, who would you rather have? Like, so take Trevor Lawrence off the board. You have to pick one of those guys. Who are you taking a flyer on from that 21 draft first round?
Justin Fields.
Me too.
Justin Fields. Like, I at least feel like Justin Fields can salvage his career based on the tools that he's working with, right? Like, I mean, in terms of runners at the quarterback position, I mean, the only quarterback that you would probably put side by side with Justin Fields is Lamar Jackson. That's the list. Like, I mean, Justin Fields looks like a running back when he tucks the ball. Like, that's how this guy moves. That's how he's built. And he's got an absolute hose. Now, I don't know that he knows where he's throwing the football all the time, which is problematic for a quarterback. But yeah. I think that Justin Fields, in the midst of the dysfunction that the Chicago Bears have had around him over the last several seasons, gets the benefit of the doubt in terms of being able to get to a stable franchise and get his career turned around.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would go with Justin Fields just because I think he does have the most upside of the group. And I wonder if Mac Jones is broken. Like, I hope that he goes to Jacksonville and can take a breath and hopefully recalibrate in a lot of ways without the pressure on him. Maybe we can see him in some way revitalize his career. I don't know when he'll get the opportunity to do so. But I just wonder if everything that he dealt with in New England, especially third season. If that is going to be too much for him to overcome, if you have just stunted his growth and his development to a point where we're not going to see him ever be the quarterback we expected
you
him
know
to
what's
be.
Second season I'm sorry I said
yeah,
third.
Th- I thought
my
it was
fault,
the second,
my fault
yeah.
my fault here's the funny thing I prefaced that I said in that question, if you had to take one of them, who would it be? If you had to take none of them, would you take none of them from that draft outside of Trevor? Like, I forced you into taking one of them. Yeah. Are all of them so low in the way in which you're thinking of the quarterback position? You're like, if I don't have to take any of them, I don't want them.
I think Justin Fields could develop into above average quarterback. Now, I'm not saying a top 10 player, but he could be better than league average. You know what I mean? Like, he could be in that
right situation.
He could be in that Derek Carr, Kyler Murray territory. I think Justin Fields can develop into that if he's in the right situation. The problem is getting to that right situation, and nobody knows exactly where that is. Now, I will push back on you when it comes to the 2021 class with Trevor Lawrence. Like, you're saying that he hasn't been what you expected him to be. Remember what the Jacksonville Jaguars were before he got there. Yep. Hell, remember what they were in his rookie year with Urban Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. You got the head coach not taking the team playing back to the home city. Like, they played a Thursday night game in Cincinnati, and the whole team flies back to Jacksonville. The head coach stays in Central Ohio. What the hell was that?
Was
well, we know what that was.
Was
Google the pictures.
Yeah, well, we do know that that was.
Yeah, we have the evidence. Yeah.
Urban Meyer playing for overtime. But here's what I'll say. Like, Trevor Lawrence has won a playoff game, and in the two seasons that he's had a professional head coach, they had winning records. Like, when was the last time we've been able to say that about the Jacksonville Jaguars being able to stack winning seasons? You just don't. Now, they collapsed after starting off 8-3, but Trevor Lawrence had an ankle injury, and he was concussed. So you can understand why they would falter down the stretch. I think that just shows how good Trevor Lawrence is when you see him at his best, what the team is, versus when he's compromised in some way, shape, or form, or out of the lineup, what the Jacksonville Jaguars look like. I think that experiment, when you got the control and you got the experiment from what we saw in the contrast in 2023, is what's going to lead to Trevor Lawrence getting a huge payday this offseason.
And I agree with you, but I guess I should have prefaced it also by saying my expectations for this guy 3 years in were for him to be a top five quarterback in the league. And I don't believe he is.
No, he's not there yet. But
I mean, think he will be.
Yeah, but I think he's trending toward being a top 10 quarterback in short order if he's not there already.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I thought he was, like, insanely good. I thought he was going to have a C.J. Stroud-like season right off the bat. Like, okay, that's it. It's over. He's the best.
He didn't have that environment.
He got a real head coach.
Yeah,
he wasn't in the best environment.
DeMeco Ryan's a real head coach. Urban Meyer wasn't, especially not in the NFL.
Russ is a Steeler. We'll dive into that next on Unsportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.